Good morning again.
Good morning.
Glad that you're here. Man, we had a cold spell, didn't we? Man, wasn't like West Texas to have all of that. But if you're not on our email list or on our app, we tried several different ways to get the word out that our Wednesday night activities were canceled. How many of you got word that come on Wednesday night? How many of you didn't get word? That's probably the easier. Okay, nobody wants to be shamed this morning, so they're not raising their hand. But if you don't have our app, you can go to the App Store and just pull down Wiley Methodist app, and we try to let people know that way. If you're not on our email list, you can let us know what your email is, and we'll get you added to that as well. We put it out to the TV stations. It's kind of hard sometimes. They don't get those out until a couple hours after I call them in. So anyway, hopefully nobody showed up Wednesday night. We had to cancel. If you are here this morning, if you're visiting with us, or maybe this is your first time, maybe you've been before, but never let us know who you are. We would love to know who you are. There's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. You can fill that out, and it also has a spot for an email address. If you want to be added to our email, you can put your email there, and there's a little box right underneath there that you check that says, yes, I'd like to be added to the email. And then after the worship service, I will be down at this end of the foyer down by the coffee and donuts. If you want to come down there and meet with me, I'd love to meet you, get to know you. I have a free gift for you. Robin, you can't have a free gift, so you're already a member. So, but glad that you're here visiting with us this morning. Now, how many of you been watching the Olympics? Yeah, I'm more of a Summer Olympic guy, but I like the Winter Olympics too. My wife likes the ice skating, and I like to sleep through the ice skating. But anyway, but we've been watching, especially, when it's cold and all, and I was thinking, and I know y'all, please don't disagree with this, but my window, I thought my window had passed for being an Olympic athlete. I know that surprises many of you. But then I discovered a sport that the window has not passed. Now, I've been practicing for the 2022. Go ahead and show me. They caught me on the practice court here. Let's see. Yes. Now, the U.S. won a gold medal in curling, and I saw the guy. No offense to the guy, maybe they may be like a cousin or something, but I saw the guys that won that medal, and I thought, my window opened back up, baby. Yeah. So anyway, I was putting that together the other day at the house, and she was just rolling her eyes. I'm sorry, Cheryl. All right, I'm sure I'll get some smart comments about that. 1 Corinthians 13, if you turn with me. This is known as, has come to be known as the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, as we just sang the song, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, I know I say that every week, but we mean it. You are welcome here. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak. Nobody wants to hear from me. We want to hear from you. So speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So continue the sermon series that I started last week, Love Like Jesus, Love Like Jesus. And today's message is Love Is... dot, dot, dot. Do you remember those? I've talked about this before. Remember the old cartoons, Love Is... You got to be old to remember that. Some of them are like, no, I'm not that old. But there used to be a cartoon strip, Love Is, and it would have different things. Love Is, you know, having lunch with your friend or whatever. But so today's message, Love Is. Last week we talked about, we established this series that God is love. He's not just loving, He is love. The very definition of love is God. He demonstrated His love to us completely and thoroughly and eternally through Jesus Christ. And He conveyed His love to us through His Holy Spirit. And then He instructed us to love on His behalf, to love because He loves us. I mean, so last week we talked about that. So we're gonna dig a little bit deeper. So we know that God is love. So how do we love? How do we do that? Anybody ever heard of Ravi Zacharias? How many of you know about Ravi Zacharias? This guy. I love Ravi Zacharias. He is from India, and I read a little bit more about his background leading up to today. He was an atheist as a child, and his life was a mess. When he was 17 years old, he took a bunch of poison and tried to kill himself, and he didn't succeed. And he's laying there in bed, and a Christian woman brought him a Bible and told him to, I believe it was John chapter 14, to read John chapter 14. And through getting into the Word of God, he read where it says, Jesus said, I'm life, and there's life in me. And he, laying there in the hospital bed after having tried to take his life, he said, Lord, if you really are the giver of life, I want that. I want a new life. And God radically transformed him. And he is one of the most articulate conveyors of the gospel that I've ever heard. I've kind of edited this down where it's fairly short. But back when we had, a few months ago, when we had the Las Vegas shooting, he and some others went to Las Vegas and had this held this conference. And he was asked the question, why doesn't God stop evil? And the questioner actually used a specific example where a shooter, put a gun to someone's head and killed them. And he said, why, if God is God and God is love, why did he not stop that from happening? Why didn't he make the gun misfire or whatever? Listen to Ravi Zacharias' answer. I love this. Go ahead, Lee.
I would say this to you, that the supreme ethic that God has given to us is the ethic of love. It is the peak of all intellectual and emotional alignment, this thing we call love, which places value upon the other person of worth and as something to be protected. The point even the hedonist realized was that in pleasure also Value and love are the supreme ethics that can be treasured. But you can never have love without intrinsically weaving into it the freedom of the will. You cannot have love without the freedom of the will. If you are compelled by some machine to a certain decision, you can never love. You can comply, but you will never be choosing to express that sentiment and the reality of love. If love is a supreme ethic, and freedom is indispensable to love, and God's supreme goal for you and for me is that we will love Him with all of our hearts and love our neighbors as ourselves, for Him to violate our free will would be to violate that which is a necessary component so that love can flourish and love can be expressed. If you're asking for God to always stop the trigger, why not God stop everything else? Next time you hold a cup of boiling water, He makes it frozen water instead. Next time you're about to cross the street and you're going to be hit, He pulls your leg back. What you're asking for is a different entity than humanity. As wonderful as it may seem that in stopping that you think He is protecting you from that which is destructive, the greatest denial that you're asking for is the freedom of your will to be able to choose and to love God with all your heart and all your soul. When you've got love as the supreme ethic and the freedom of the will to choose that love, all of the other contingencies come in and can become explained why it is possible to either choose or to reject so that love can ultimately reign supreme. If you want compliance and some kind of a mechanical response, your question itself will self-destruct. You're asking the question because you're free to ask it, and you're free to ask it because you're free to love. And when you love Him, in spite of all of the contraries that you see around us, you're trusting Him for having the supreme wisdom and the knowledge to ultimately bring a pattern out of it all.
Anybody else's head about to explode? I mean, He packs a punch when He talks, when He speaks. You know, our culture, so we have a confused culture when it comes to the subject of love. I'm gonna unpack this just a little bit. You know, normally my messages are, I try to make my messages practical, and I don't quote a lot of Greek, but when we start talking about love, we need to look at that a little bit deeper. And I may mispronounce these, and some of you Greek scholars may correct me later, but in the Greek language, there are four different words, meanings of the word love, what we translate as love. There's phia. Is that good? Was that close, Marv? Philia, which is a love between friends, okay? Storge, I tried to get a little Greeky there. Storge, love between a parent and a child. And then there's eros, which is the erotic sexual love. And then a word that you may have heard of, agape, which is the unconditional love of God. There's no preconditions as we use the word agape. Well, in 1 Corinthians 13, the question may come up, what form of love is Paul talking about here? What is he trying to teach us? In nine different times, you can make in your bulletin there, your handout, I left a blank there. Nine times in these 13 verses, Paul uses the word agape. So he's not talking about this love between friends, when it's a give and take. It's like, you be nice to me, I'll be your friend. He's not talking about this love between a parent and a child that's instinctive. We just, you know, the baby comes and we just love them. He's not talking about this sexual love. He's talking about the unconditional love of God. He's defining that for us. So in this chapter, he tells us this agape, this unconditional love of God. He tells us what it is. He tells us what it is not and what it does not. And he tells us what it always is and what it never is. So there's a very thorough understanding in this one chapter of what the agape love, the unconditional love of God is. So let's unpack what he says about that love is. The unconditional love of God, first of all, he says, is patient. It's patient. Love is patient. Verse 4. Another way to translate that word patient would be long-suffering. Now, I know someone that, and many people actually, who have prayed for literally for decades for someone. Specifically, what comes to my mind is I know a wife who came to church for, I don't know, 40 years without her husband, and prayed for her husband for some 40 or so years. And not too terribly long, just a few years ago, that husband came to Christ, and that husband began to go to church. That husband's life was transformed. Their marriage was transformed. And I think about that situation when I think about love is patient, the unconditional love of God that was transmitted to this wife through the Holy Spirit was patient and long-suffering. She didn't give up. I've got family members. Cheryl and I pray for them. I've got family members that need Jesus. And in some cases, we've been praying for decades for those people that they will come to Christ. Love is patient. Love is long-suffering, the unconditional love of God. So secondly, the unconditional love of God is kind. We talked some about this last week, but it says love is kind. And again, one of my favorite passages, it comes out of Romans 2, says God's kindness leads us to repentance. Now, my own particular story, many of you have heard this, and I'll give the Reader's Digest, but I was in church all of my life, and I had a great mom and dad, and they took me to church. They taught me the ways of Christ by example and so forth. But somehow, I just missed it for 30 years of my life. I just thought that the Christian journey was about being a good person, serving, going to church, you know, leading in church and doing all those things. And those are all good things, by the way. In fact, God wants us to do those things. But that's not the essence of our relationship with Christ. And first of all, let me tell you that after 30 years, I found myself horribly failing at that. Yes, I still went to church, and yes, I taught Sunday school. This was prior to my pastoral days. I taught Sunday school, and I was on leadership of committees and so forth, but my walk outside of church didn't match that. I was, and I told y'all last week about the lady that I visited with whose father is in hospice on his last days on this earth, and she said, I don't believe. And so we began to talk about that, and the first thing reason she told me is because Christians are just a bunch of hypocrites. And I said to her, yeah, I've been one of those. I've been one of those. I was the worst. But I told her, don't put your faith in Christians. Put your faith in Christ. And for me, I found myself at 31 years of age, I found myself knowing, just like Paul says in Romans, he knew what he should be doing, but he found himself doing the very things that he didn't want to do. And so he's wrestling with this, and he comes to the end of that struggle, and he says, I am a wretched man. Who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. And so that I came to that moment when I was covered in shame. So the enemy, if you're feeling shame, that's from the enemy. God does not shame us. God convicts us when we're not walking in his ways, but he never shames us. If you are feeling ashamed, it's from the enemy. I just want you to hear that loud and clear. But I felt the shame of knowing that I was that hypocrite that this lady was talking about. And at that very moment when I felt the conviction of my actions, God convicted me. But at the very moment he convicted me, he embraced me and said, you know, Jeff, you are a wretched man, but I hung on a cross for you. And it was the kindness and the mercy of the Lord that brought me to repentance. And so we understand that love is kind. Love is kind because God is kind. I forget where I saw this week. Something Cheryl and I were watching, she'll probably remember, but the quote was that that God's mercy was greater than his anger. Don't you love that? God's mercy, and it talks throughout Romans. If you want to read about grace and the law and all of that, read through Romans. But that no matter how much we, in Christ, no matter how much we sin, his mercy and his grace always exceeds that. It always exceeds that. And so if you have in your mind that God is this angry God, that he's sitting up there and he sees all these horrible things that you've done or been done to you or who you are or whatever, and he stands ready to zap you, that's not the God I know. The God I know loved us enough, and he's kind enough that he sent Jesus. Love is kind. The agape, unconditional love of God, is kind. And number three, the unconditional love of God is truthful. Love, agape love, rejoices with the truth. Rejoices with the truth. Now, man, we live in a culture that just doesn't get this at all. We think that love is embracing someone. It's just like, well, you know, that's whatever you do. God loves you. Well, yes, he does love us, but he doesn't love all of our behaviors. Shake your head if you're hearing what I'm saying. God, we live in a culture that's taught us that to love is to embrace every behavior. I mean, and I just sometimes literally my head wants to explode because I'm just going, for goodness sake, wake up. I mean, that's not love at all. It's like if our children are 2 years old and they want to play in the street, do we, they just want to play in the street. We're just going to embrace that. No. You love them. You pull them out of the street. You teach them. Come into the yard. The yard is this place that I've set up for you that's safe. And you can have life, you can have abundant life, but don't go in the street. Don't go in the street. Love is truthful. Sometimes we have to just speak truth. And the word says to speak truth in love. You know, I've told this story before, but it still staggers me that I got this call. But I got a phone call a few years ago from a guy who didn't go to this church, just a man that I knew, and he's telling me about this girl in his office that he's attracted to, and this man, I knew him, and I knew his wife, I knew his children, and he's attracted to this girl, and he wants to know my advice. Oh, well, I loved him, so of course I just told him, well, if you love her more than your wife, go ahead and surrender to that. Go ahead and have an affair. No, I love him, so I said, run! Turn around and run. If you have to quit your job, quit your job. Whatever you have to do, go home and love your wife because I love him. And because I spoke truth to him. Now, so love not only is truthful, but it rejoices in the truth. The agape love of God, the unconditional agape love of God, rejoices in the truth. Because you know what? Truth brings life. Lies bring death. And we have a God who wants life for us. He wants abundant, eternal life for us. And we have an enemy who wants us dead. He wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy marriages. He wants to destroy people. He wants to destroy churches. I mean, he just wants to take us all out. So the unconditional agape love of God rejoices with the truth. And finally, number four, the unconditional agape love of God is greatest. Now that unpack that just a second. It really is amazing to me. If you read verse 13, faith and hope are awesome things, right? I mean, we come into a relationship with Christ. The word tells us through faith, by grace, through faith. I mean, that's what brings us into a relationship with God. And hope is the result of that. I mean, we have hope for today. We have hope for tomorrow. We have hope for the future. Those are great things. But what the scripture is telling us is they pale in comparison to love. The greatest between faith, hope, and love is love. If we don't have love, it says, we don't have God. And even if we look back a couple of verses before that, we see that prophecy is good. Prophecy is good. That speaking in tongues is even good. If you don't believe that that's a legitimate gift of God, I challenge you to just open the scriptures and read it. I have never spoken in tongues. I'll just say that up front. But I believe with all my heart it is a legitimate gift. I think it can be abused as just like a lot of things. But open the Word. I mean, the early church spoke in tongues all the time. So those are good things. Faith is good. Hope is good. They're all good, but love trumps them all. Love is the greatest. The agape love of Christ overrides everything. Now, so I guess we can't have the love of Christ unless we have Christ. Is anybody following the logic there? I'm not that bright, but I get that. We can't have the love of Christ if we don't have Christ. And so, if you would, I want to invite you, just bow your head. I don't give a lot of altar calls or anything, and that I'm not doing that this morning. But here's what I want to invite you to do with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I just ask that the Holy Spirit would move on us. Holy Spirit, we want to have you because we want to have agape love. We want to possess that, and we want to share that. So, Holy Spirit, come on us. Anyone this morning, Holy Spirit, that does not have you, we can't love like you if we don't have you. So I ask you to move, Holy Spirit. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to ask you if you want to receive him this morning. I'm not going to ask you to do anything publicly. Just raise a hand this morning if that's you. It's something that you've never done and you want that this morning. Just raise a hand. Everybody with their heads bowed. Amen. Amen. Okay. If you've raised your hand, you can lower that. Anybody else? Lord, we want to love like you. We want the agape love of God to ooze out of us, because that's what brings you glory and that's what draws people to you. And your word says that, Jesus, you said, when you're lifted up, you will draw all men to you. And what you were referring to is when you are lifted up on the cross for the redemption and our salvation, that act of agape love would draw people to you. That's what we want. Help us to get it. God, if we've never gotten that before, help us to get it this morning. We love you. We need you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Invite our praise team to come up, Trevor and the team. Just a reminder, at the end of our closing song, I'll be out in the foyer to greet anyone, any of our visitors, or anyone. If you raised your hand this morning, please come and seek me or Billy out. Billy will be up front here to receive anyone who has some prayers, needs, or whatever. Please seek Billy or I out and let us know. That's another thing the enemy does, is he wants to steal, kill, and he does that. The stealing is he wants to steal the seeds that the Holy Spirit plants in us. And so one of the ways to combat that is to share it. So let's stand as we close.
There's a place where mercy reigns, and never die.
greatest is love. Agape, the unconditional agape love of Christ. It's the greatest. It never fails. Go and share it. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.